everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Southern Onion. So happy to have you with us. I'm Erica.
And I'm Erin with the brown hair.
Well, okay. Yeah. And I'm Erica with the red hair. So
okay.
So now that you can see us and you know which one's which, you know.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
If you couldn't tell by the picture for us, we are fraternal twins, so.
Yes.
People still ask us our names, though, all the time, so.
They do.
I became the, and Erin became twins, because that's how we were always... Oh, there's the twins. So that way they never got our name wrong.
That's right.
Well, welcome aboard another episode with us. I hope everyone has had a great week. Erin, how has your week been?
It was going interesting. It has rained here almost all week, but now the sun's out and I was able to get my swing out. I have like a swing with a canopy and then it made like a giant hole in the ground because it's been so wet.
Yeah.
So it was like quicksand. It was like just sliding into the ground. So, yeah. So, but we did get a new bathroom fan and it's Bluetooth. So, like, I can listen to my music and podcast and still, you know, while I'm taking a shower. So,
oh, there you go. Is it one of those that turns on randomly, though?
Yeah, it did last night. It scared me to death.
Like, yeah, like a Alexa does.
Right. It was like, welcome. I'm like, wait a minute.
Who just walked in the bathroom?
Yeah, so we're moving now.
Yeah. pure coincidence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So how was your week?
Week was okay. Not, you know, just more work. But I am excited for March Madness because I'm a huge sports fan. So the women's tournament starts Sunday and the men's got started on Friday, and already a whole bunch of upsets and bracket busters, and it's just exciting. I'm so competitive and I love it, but it's heartbreaking at times. So good luck to all the teams out there. Hope everybody stays safe and injury free, of course. But yeah, other than that, just enjoying having, you know, able to open my windows some, and the cats are loving that. Get the fresh air in their whiskers. So
that's right.
Yeah. So we hope everybody out there has had a wonderful week. Again, like us, follow us, leave a comment. We really appreciate it. Also, you can find us on really any platform that you listen to your podcast on. Give us a follow on our Instagram page at Southern Onion Podcast. And if you have questions for us, ideas for us, you topic you want us to cover, send us an email at southernonion2@gmail.com. You'd think I'd know our own email address, but
I know.
It's March Madness, baby. So
that's
I've been up not 5 hours of sleep last night. So,
oh, yes.
Apologies. SouthernOnion2@gmail.com. So, business taken care of.
Yes.
Now, dun, 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 to the episode.
Oh,
Lord. So, for those who have not watched it yet, it is free. It's called Life with Bundy. You can watch it for free on abc.com and go search 2020, and it is season 42, episode 16, called Life with Bundy. It's 1 hour and 19 minutes long, but there's about 45 minutes worth of ads that you'll watch.
Yes.
So plan on 2 hours. But this is, I think the original air date was last year.
Correct.
Okay. So, because I remember watching it last year and then, of course, rewatched it for this. So, little details is this follows Elizabeth and Molly Kendall. And Elizabeth was really the longtime girlfriend of Ted Bundy. And Molly was her daughter. Or is her daughter, excuse me. And so, today we are talking about Theodore Robert Bundy, who was born November 24th, 46 in Burlington, Vermont, died January 24th, 1989 in a Florida state prison. He has confessed to at least 30 murders, but his total is still unconfirmed and probably always will be.
Yes, I think so.
So, what a horrible man. And I've found the documentary to be interesting in the fact of how he tried to keep a normal life, and I think the normal life is what got him, because he tried to play two sides. Because the documentary starts out where it shows the happy times, if you will, and obviously the pictures are from the 70s because those shorts are so short. I just kept seeing the pictures and I was like, I don't know if my legs could ever have gotten in those, look good in those shorts. And you got a serial killer rocking the shorts. And I'm like, what is this about? So,
The outfits were definitely skimpier. And remember when we were in school and it was like no spaghetti straps? It's
oh,
like,
yeah, that's all that was. Well, you might become a serial murderer. I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, it was cool to see some of the videos and the pictures back from the 70s, that style.
Right. Yeah. And how in just 40 years, how life has changed so much, not just, obviously evidence and collection wise, but just life in general. And we have multiple locks on our doors. We have cars that will lock themselves if you forget to lock it, and they just didn't have this back in the 70s, which made it, as we'll find out as we keep talking, a very easy playground for Mr. Ted Bundy.
Yes, definitely. And, like you said, he, by all appearances, appeared normal. He was
For
going to
sure.
college. He was wanting to be a lawyer. And everybody, which I do not find him attractive or good looking, but if
No.
that's what works for you,
Yeah.
hey, I'm
Sure.
not judging. But a
Right.
lot of people found him attractive and found him approachable.
Yes.
And I think he used that as a way of luring women into his trap. And what was amazing was Liz, she met him at a bar.
Yes,
And she
Elizabeth
was
Kendall.
like, yeah, she was, yeah. And she was so smitten with him from the very beginning. Like she was just so taken by him. And she was just like, okay. And she's a single mother at this time. And she didn't really see anything wrong with Ted. And they were dating, and she said everything was normal. There was no red flags that told her, something's wrong with this guy. And now, did she not want to believe there was red flags, or was there truly not red flags? I don't know. I mean, Molly, the daughter, talked about an incident where she was playing hide and go seek with Ted, and he was nude. And she was just like, this is odd, but they didn't think anything of it. To me, I'm like, hello, red flag.
I don't know.
It's
That was my question. A, I've never played that kind of game of hide and seek. And B, why would you would think, I mean, because at this time, I guess Molly's maybe 9 or 10 years old, so probably just really getting to that age where, you become aware that boys and girls are different and that you should keep yourself covered, And so why would you not tell your mom or guardian, hey, this happened, and I and she even said, something changed in his eyes and she felt very uneasy, and so I would think right then I would have been like, hey, mom, this thing happened, but she never really went into detail why she didn't say anything to her mom. And just going back to when Leah's, picked Bundy up, she said, I met him and I took him home that same night. And she said, which I never did. And she described him as a gentleman, husband material, a family man, because he did. You see interviews of him, especially before his conviction, and he's just very confident. He's arrogant, but he presents as very confident and outgoing, and he's got this nice smile and a little bit of a unibrow, but but I could see why people didn't see red flags upon initially seeing him. But that's the game you gotta play. If you're gonna lure victims, you can't be this monster. The devil's not gonna look like Freddy Krueger. The devil's gonna look like Ted Bundy, because, or that's how I, work it out in my head of why you catch more flies with honey, if you will.
Right. He was definitely a chameleon. He could definitely adapt to a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, in the interviews, he seemed like a normal, everyday person.
Yeah.
And that's what's so scary.
Yeah. Yeah. And his defense attorney, John Henry Brown, said, and if a defense attorney says this, this really caught my ear, that he said Bundy was evil. He was like, I've never really known evil until Ted Bundy. And I was like, whoa, because a defense attorney, I know people that work for defense attorneys, and you just see a lot of people come through. But for him to say, you know, he was evil, that I was like, oh my goodness. So, I still can't get over the fact, and we'll go over some of these cases. Mm-hmm. He would go off and ask Liz, hey, where are you going today? And she, oh, well, I'm probably going to go here, here, and here. Well, Bundy was asking so that he wasn't going to go to the same place as her so that he could abduct and kill other women. I mean, right. he had that, it's that much premeditation of, I'm going to go kill today. Hey, where are you going? Because I don't need any eyewitnesses.
Right, because
when he started out with his killings, they were done at night. And he was described as a night owl, a roamer, and that his criminal record started out as theft and peeping. It was a peeping Tom. And I think it was the Brad Garrett, the FBI agent, the former FBI agent, he said, you know, that makes sense because when you're a peeping Tom, you're learning how to isolate people and watch people to learn what their habits are, you know, so that you know how to abduct them or break in their house or whatever.
Right. And Liz even gave an incident where Ted had stolen a pair of ski boots.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, why did you steal those? And he just says, oh, well, if I didn't steal them, somebody else would.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his mindset. It was like, well, somebody's going to do it. Why shouldn't it be me?
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. I see a pair. I mean, I don't ski. I've never skied. But, you know, if I see something I want, like, oh, I like that t-shirt. I'm not thinking, well, I'm going to go steal that t-shirt. I'm like, well, where'd you get it? I want to buy one for me, you know?
Right, yeah. So it just shows you his mindset was sort of like, well, why not? And that was the thing. I think he just decided, I'm going to be a serial killer.
Well, right. But what happened, because they mentioned in that something changed in 1974, and that's when Ted decided, I'm going to be a murderer. I'm going to be a serial killer. Because, like you said, he had, you know, started law school. He had helped a candidate in, because this is all in the Washington area, Washington State, excuse me. And he even helped a politician, Dan Evans, helped him get reelected. So he was actually coming up in the ranks of politics. And who knew politics and murder go together? So it looked like he was setting his path for that. You know, I'll become a lawyer. I'll work my way into public office and be a governor. But they said something in 1974 changed, and he gave all that up for murder. And boy, did he start murdering. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, one here, one there, like where we talked about Edward Wayne Edwards. He would kill and then, oh, we got to go move. Edward Wayne Edwards was always moving. Ted Bundy didn't. He was that arrogant.
Right. Yeah, he waited until they started to maybe figure it out before he was like, okay, I got to pick up and leave.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was in Washington, he murdered Linda Ann Healy. She was the one that gave the ski report.
Yeah, on that morning talk show, yes.
Yep.
I mean, what a high-profile person as your first victim.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I know I still listen to the radio, and I would know if a DJ or the news person wasn't on there. I'd be like, wonder where they're at. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. He also murdered Donna Manson, Susan Rancourt, Roberta Parks, and Brenda Ball.
Yep. And Brenda Ball because the other three, I've got Dawn, Susan, and Roberta, they were all college students. But correct. Brenda wasn't. She was just an adult. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if that was on purpose, because then that threw the motive out. It was like, oh, they're just targeting college women. Well, wait, they murdered her. So, well, who is this person, you know?
Right, right. And the one that got me was Georgianne Hawkins.
Yes,
that,
I've got her. Yeah.
She was walking for, I think she had a Spanish test. Mm-hmm. And so she was walking in the middle of the evening on campus. Mm-hmm. She goes down an alley. She sees Ted Bundy. And this is where he uses crutches.
Yes.
So he's kind of like, oh, I need help. Can you help me? And she's being nice, because that's what we're taught, right? Somebody needs help. You step in and help.
Right.
And that's where he got her and killed her.
Yeah, because why would you lie about being hurt? I mean, honestly, unfortunately, it's actually really smart. Because who's going to suspect somebody with crutches?
Right. And it's kind of... this, it doesn't make you question anything. Mm-hmm. Oh, this guy needs help. I'm going to go help him, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And we'll see this. We'll see Ted use this similarly in when he goes to Sammamish.
Yes, Sammamish.
We will see him use this tactic again. So I think he kind of oh, okay, this works.
Right.
And then he decides, and the thing that gets me is he decides, okay, I'm going to move. And then he moves and he just keeps killing. But he never hides anything.
No.
He's in a Volkswagen. He's using his Volkswagen, driving around. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's not trying to cover up who he is.
Right. No. No, he's that narcissistic and arrogant, which I know is a common thread with these serial killers. And with the crutches, you know, Elizabeth, I guess, went over to his house, or he brought them over to her house. And she said, hey, what are those crutches? You're not hurt. And he was like, oh, my landlord wanted me to return them for him. And she was just like, okay. I mean, oh my gosh, right there. And I would just be like, what? But I think he hid the bodies. So it's not like, you know, the reports of murder had already made the news or anything.
Right. Well, and it's that I'm holding it for a friend, right?
Yeah, because yeah, anybody else hold something for a friend and not get in trouble? Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah. If you have, email us, southernonion2.
That's right, yes.
@gmail.com. So, but, but then there's tapes of him describing how he lured her in with the crutches. And then he goes on to say, and then I would also pretend like I had a flat tire, and I would hide my crowbar behind the tire, and that way when people bend down to help me, I could just grab the tire iron or a crowbar and just smash them with it. I mean, he thought of this, and this is when I think society, especially women, had to start really thinking about, do I want to help this person out?
Right.
Because what if they're another Ted Bundy? Any time, and it might be for you all too, I don't know, but when I see somebody kind of hurt or disabled or off the side of the road, I might call as I'm passing by. I will not stop, because I don't know. Am I being lured?
Right.
Because all of his victims, well, except in the later, his victims he lured in because they had a tender heart.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and he preyed off of that. He preyed off people having empathy and wanting to help.
Right. Yeah. So he leaves Washington because I think the heat was getting to him. And I think really Liz was starting to maybe kind of figure this out.
Yes. And I want to be like, Liz, denial just ain't a river. But that's because in Lake Sammamish, now that's in Washington, Ted went from nighttime kidnapping and killing to he tried daytime, and it was at Lake Sammamish. And the thing was he went up to a couple of women, and they introduced themselves, and other people around them heard him say, hi, I'm Ted. He gave his real name.
I mean, they're getting, he's not hiding anything.
And so then when, you know, it came out and these women, Did they get away? I don't have on here.
No.
No.
Denise Naslin and Janice Ott, he used the sailboat ruse, is what I called it. He said, I have the sailboat. I'm trying to get it into the water. Now, he has a cast on his arm.
That's right.
And so they go to help him, and of course, they disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people are like, where do they go? They're alarmed. They can't figure out what has happened to them.
Yeah.
And you see footage, the police are called, and you see footage where they're painting the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
You see Ted Bundy's VW.
Yeah.
In the footage, in the pictures. And like you said, he was using his real name of Ted. So, and then they gave a composite description of what he looked like.
Right.
And it's like, it's very similar to Ted Bundy. Right. So, I think Liz is starting to kind of go, that, you know, his name's Ted. He drives a VW.
Mm-hmm.
That does look an awful lot like my boyfriend.
Right. Yeah.
But I think she still was not seeing that it was her Ted.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, because how, again, something so surreal and be like, are you serious? This is the person that I, you know, kind of have an on again, off again relationship with, and he's out doing all this, you know, and, and it did, it showed a clip of Silence of the Lambs, and where Buffalo Bill had a cast on his arm trying to get a couch into the van, and that's how he kidnaps the one girl. And they said that came from Ted Bundy, because I mean, but good night, you know, I mean, that's why you go in pairs. You don't, you can't, you just can't trust total strangers. And all this come, a lot of this comes from Ted Bundy. That's what's so crazy. I just thought it was common sense. Well, no, it wasn't back in the 70s,
right,
because people didn't do this. He was the first one to murder like this.
Right.
And use that type of luring in.
Right. And that evening, he called Liz and said, hey, do you want to go out to dinner?
Oh, I know. Yeah, they said he never changed. He didn't act any different. He just murdered two women. And he's like, hey, I heard, you know, Outback's got their blooming onion on sale or something. I don't know, but you know.
Right. Right. And so he acted normal.
Mm-hmm.
She said he was normal. He didn't act like somebody who just gone and killed two people.
But was he ever, and I couldn't find this, was he ever diagnosed with bipolar or any type of like disassociative where he could just turn off one side of himself? Because they said, even Elizabeth said, you know, that his eyes would change. And he would just, it was like somebody else was in his head controlling him.
Right. Yeah, not that I know of. I haven't really run across anything. I'm sure there's a plethora of diagnoses when it comes to Ted, you know, narcissistic and all those things.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
And you know...
Something's going on.
Right. And then here, Elizabeth has concerned friends because they bring the sketch to her. And they're like, this looks like Ted, like you said. Molly brings it up to Ted.
Yeah.
And was like, hey, this looks like you. And he's just like, oh, no, it doesn't. Are you silly? I would never do anything like that.
Right.
But then that's when I think Elizabeth really does start to get a bit scared of Ted. But she does say she gets scared of her brain thinking that he could do this and not necessarily Ted himself.
Right.
And, I mean, you don't... I can't imagine knowing somebody and having to be like, oh my gosh, this sketch looks like them, and I think they really did kill these people. But what if they didn't? What if because your mind's one of the most powerful persuasion tools you have, and what if you're wrong? I mean, that's a huge, you know, accusation to make, to be wrong.
Yeah, definitely. So Ted up and decides he's going to move to Utah.
Yep.
He says, Liz, do you want to go? Liz says no.
Thankfully.
Yes. So in 1974, he goes to Utah University.
Mm-hmm.
And in true Ted style, he murders Nancy Wilcox, Melissa Ann Smith,
mm-hmm.
Laura Ann, I think it's Amy or me,
mm-hmm.
and then Deborah Kent.
Yeah.
And these are all university girls. Again, he's
mm-hmm.
able to fit into,
mm-hmm.
hey, I'm a college kid, you're a college kid. He has blended himself into that that group.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it, when he moved, they think it might have been 12 hours between his move from Washington to Utah before he killed again. Like, it was just that, like, he just could not stop himself.
Yeah, he
and it
couldn't.
was
No.
always women. But then, and I thought this was a little interesting, they said that he ran to the Mormon church.
Yeah.
Hello, Jody Arias and Travis Alexander.
Right, yeah.
So I wondered, being who I am, is it the same Mormon church that they went to, you know?
Yeah, I wondered
I mean,
that too,
there's quite a few in Utah, but I wondered, my little mind, that's how it works, but that they even mentioned that, you know, the Mormon church, and I'm like, wow. So did he have a moment where he was like, I've got to stop this, you know, but he doesn't, you know, and then we get to the rock star, his only, at the time, his only survivor, because there are other survivors, we'll get to them, but Carol DeRanche is the only survivor. Now, what he did was, it was at a shopping center. Ted dressed up or impersonated himself as a police officer and said that they had apprehended a criminal, and that criminal tried to get into her car, and he needed to take her down to the police station to write a report. Now, why would you not believe a police officer? Again, it's unfortunately a good idea, but why would you not believe a police officer? And she said, you know, once she realized that he wasn't taking her to the police station, that's when she started screaming and fighting back. And I think he got, what, one handcuff on her?
Right.
But she was able to get out of the car and jump into another car that was coming down the road. And it was an elderly couple, and they took her to the real police station.
Yes.
And so now he's got a target on his back as well, you know,
yes,
here in Utah. So.
Yep. So in 1975, he moves to Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he starts killing again.
Yep. Yeah. And then, and that's when Elizabeth notices everywhere Ted's going, murders stop where he leaves, but starts where he goes.
Right. But when she speaks to him, he's totally normal. Everything's fine.
Yeah,
there's nothing going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just explains it away. And again, why would you want to believe that they really doing this? So yeah, you're going to want to believe them.
Yeah. He murdered Karen Campbell, Julie Cunningham, Denise Ollerson.
It's okay.
Susan Curtis and Lynette Culver.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's,
But now bones are starting to show up in Washington.
Yes.
Now Ted's getting nervous. He gets pulled over in Colorado because evidently he was a very, very bad driver, which I find interesting. But anyway, and, you know, the cop asks, why do you have all this stuff in your trunk? Because he's got like a ski mask. He's got, you know, the crowbar. He's got all this stuff. And he just explains it away. He says he's a law student. He takes these to class because they talk about common weapons. So, well, that's a reasonable answer. And even the police say he was a personable guy that they didn't want to. And so by this time, Elizabeth grows so suspicious, she gives photos to the police of Ted.
Right.
And they show Carol LaRanche these pictures. His picture is included among these other pictures. And she picks Ted's picture up and goes, no, he looks too old.
Mm-hmm.
So, phew, again, gets away with not being a suspect again. Because he appeared younger, I guess, in person.
Right. Yeah.
And, gosh, there's so many close calls before he finally gets caught. But they said too, that FBI agent said that he was so high on Carol getting away that he had to hurry up and find somebody to kill just to satiate that need.
Right.
And it was like, oh my gosh, that's just scary to think about.
Right. Yeah, it is. Now, eventually he does go on trial for Carol
mm-hmm.
De La Ranch's,
yeah,
you know, the kidnapping, so to speak.
Right.
And that was interesting because he gets out on bail. He goes to Liz's house.
Yeah, and Liz is the one that bails him out. I'm like, are you right. Facepalm? I'm like,
and
are
she's
you
still not buying that he possibly could be the one. Mm-hmm. And see, she called, Liz called and reported him to the police, as you know. Mm-hmm. And then she felt guilty about that.
Yeah.
She felt guilty.
Felt bad. But
yeah,
I can see why, but at the same time, too much has happened now for it to be a coincidence.
Right, yes.
Way too much has happened now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Ted is found guilty. Mm-hmm. But then people felt that Ted was innocent.
Mm-hmm.
People at the Mormon church felt that he was innocent.
Right, yep.
Because they'd been around him. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
They thought, surely not our Ted, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he ends up getting transferred to Colorado to stand trial for the Karen Campbell case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, because when he was put in jail for Carol, they processed mm-hmm. the VW. So we have to remember, this is back when there wasn't all these technology and microscopes and DNA. So while he's in jail, they actually find hairs of other victims in his VW.
Yes. Yep.
So, all starting to crumble, old Ted.
Yes, it is. So he decides he's going to assist in his own defense.
Always a smart move. Always.
Right, yes. And so this is where Ted escapes from the law library. Yes. Yes. In 1977.
Mm-hmm.
So he decides, I'm just going to jump out the window.
Yep.
And run for it. And he does. And what happens?
He finds a car unlocked with keys in it and a Cadillac of all things. Mm-hmm. And he was going to go, I think, back to Aspen. He was going to stay at a cabin for a few days. But he's a terrible driver. And he's driving this Cadillac. And he passes a cop car. And the cop suspects drunk driving. So he pulls him over.
Yep.
And the cop, you know, goes to arrest him. And there's a scuffle. Is that the same arrest? Yeah.
This will be the second one. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Spoiler alert. Sorry.
So it was a matter of like maybe hours that he was out.
Yeah. And because he's a bad driver, that's how he got caught.
Yeah.
And I noticed too, Aaron, side note here, Ted Bundy was left-handed.
Yeah. I saw that too.
And we're left-handed.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
I'm scared.
Me
I'm
too.
Real scared. I don't know. So all you lefties out there, we got to correct the name of the left-handed people.
Yes, but we don't claim him, so yeah.
We
don't have to claim him.
Yeah, we took his left-handed card away. He's done.
That's right, so, yes. Yeah. So they end up moving him into Glenwood Jail because it's supposed to be more secure, right?
Supposed to be, yes.
Right. So Ted decides, you know, he wants to get out. He does not want to be there, mm-hmm. and so he decides to lose weight. He's not eating.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's like, I don't know how you could do it. I don't have the willpower.
No.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. Just,
yeah.
Hopefully, I never have to decide I'm in jail and how am I going to get out of here. Maybe I could then, but.
Yeah. Don't put me down for the starvation diet to be able to squeeze into a hole because it's not going to happen.
Oh, my gosh. And it was a 12 by 12. Not feet, inches. A 12 by 12 hole.
Yeah.
That he
in the ceiling
shimmies up using his law books. I'm just like, the irony in all of this is just terrible. Yeah.
So this time he is gone.
And oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yes.
And he is angry.
Yes. And he ends up in Florida.
Yep. Florida State University.
Yes. And this is where he decides to go to, like you said, Florida State University, mm-hmm. the Pi Omega sorority house.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was January 15th, 1978.
Yes.
And he kills
Margaret Bowman and Lisa Levy.
Mm-hmm. Neither, all they were doing was sleeping. These girls were not out. These young women were not out. They weren't walking by themselves. They were asleep. And there mm-hmm. was several because it was a sorority house. And evidently, he was on the top floor. So I don't. They said like there was 40 of them.
Correct.
So would everybody be on the top floor, or did he just like, I'm going upstairs?
I think, well, there was a documentary where they said that he had seen, I believe, Lisa Levy that night at a club, and he kind of followed her and watched as she went up and went into her bedroom. Now, I don't know if that's really true or not. That's just something I've seen in another documentary. But he did leave behind two survivors, though. And that was Kathy Kleiner and Karen Chandler.
Yes. Yeah. Wow.
And I mean, not to get too graphic, but I mean, he took what they thought was a log.
Yeah.
And just started beating them.
Yeah. They said, a wooden club.
Yeah. A big old piece of wood.
So this is rage killing. Yes. This is not murder of passion, if you will. This was absolute rage.
Yes. Ted decides, okay, well, I'm not done killing. So he goes to Cheryl Thomas's house, which is so sad. She was a dance major.
Yeah.
And he starts attacking her in her home. And if her neighbors had not heard her yelling, she would have been dead.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Her neighbors are what helped her live. And just going back to the Omega house real quick. Ted, I don't know, anyway, what really gets him to connect him to those murders was bite marks on one of the victims. He bit a victim, and not once, but twice. And they figure he bit, left, came back, did it one more time before he left for good from that. Yeah. I mean, how sick.
Yeah.
How sick.
Disgusting.
Yeah. And then, like you said, then he goes to the Dunwoody residence. And because the neighbor said the walls were so thin, luckily, that they were like, okay, we've got to call the cops. And what she says, she woke up 2 or 3 days later, and all of a sudden she's in the hospital.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But Ted is still on the loose.
Yes, yep.
And he ends up in Lake City, Florida.
Which I have been to, yes.
Have you? Yes. Yep. And this one was really rough because he finds a 12-year-old girl named Kimberly Leach. She is outside walking from school, and he kidnaps and kills her.
And she's 12. It was his last and youngest victim.
Yeah.
Because she was walking.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
that one hurt. Yeah.
Ted gets arrested because he's
a month later. Yes.
Yes, a month later for driving oddly.
Yep.
And he stole a VW bug.
Yeah.
Now this is
Florida
what he was
State.
Driving
yeah.
around. Yeah. He's yeah. been driving around. So again, driving the same kind of car.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And if you go to Alcatraz East,
yeah,
they have that VW because if you look on the door, it's actually kind of blue.
Uh-huh.
And the guy there told me that Ted actually spray painted it that
beige
color,
but
you can see where the blue is kind of bleeding through it.
Yeah, and I did post that picture on our Instagram account of the Volkswagen.
Yes, so that is the Volkswagen that he was using in Florida at the time.
So Ted realizes after this arrest where he did fight David Lee, the cop, and he realizes he's in some deep water. And so he refuses to talk to him. He's got no identification on him. He won't say who he is because, again, we're talking about the 70s. They had to send fingerprint cards off to be matched. It's not like now where some departments have it in a digital scanner and you just run a program. But then who does he call a day or two later? Elizabeth.
Yep.
And there's trusty Elizabeth, you know, and I think that's because he said, it's going to get really bad when this breaks and I want you to hear it from me or something to that effect.
Right.
So she finally asks, are you sick? That's what she asks him and said, you know, that he got real defensive about it, but then called back the next day and was like, well, I want to talk to you about how I'm sick.
Yes.
And then finally, he tells the police who he is.
And I think this is where she finally accepts that Ted is really a killer. Mm-hmm. I think it had to come from his mouth.
Yes.
Before she realized. And she even mentioned that her and Ted went rafting one time. And he pushed her into the water.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like sitting there like floundering around and stuff. And she said his eyes changed colors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like he snapped back into himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she got back on the raft. And I mean, she said I just chewed him out for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Right. I can understand. But sure. It just shows you, she's looking back on it now and saying, you know, I did see some things that were kind of wonky.
Yeah.
That now are making sense. But I think at the time, she needed to hear it come out of Ted's mouth.
Right. Yeah. Because how else are you really going to believe it? Because, and so it goes over his court cases and how he's, you know, convicted. Florida had the most evidence with the Florida State University killings, with also the Kimberly Leach abduction and murder. So that's why he was only tried in Florida.
Right, the Chi Omega, where he was found. He decided to represent himself, which was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
He actually asked the judge for a change in menu because he was sick of eating the same food every day. Y'all, I can't make this up.
Yeah. Well, of course.
You can't make this up.
Right.
You know, so, and the judge even said, what is it that a lawyer has a client for a fool if he represents himself?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Something along those lines. And I'm like, yep, he's right.
But said, I can't stop you from representing yourself. And
right. Yeah.
Ted's so like, Ted cool.
Yeah. And that's where the bite mark evidence comes in. Back then, that was not well known. That was a very groundbreaking technique that the police used
to convict
him. So
that was
interesting.
Imprint of his teeth, and it was an exact match to the bite marks.
Yep.
And let's see, but then we're introduced to Carol Ann Boone. Because there's always one in the crowd.
Yes, there is.
And
she
is the definition of a, let's see, what do I have about her? Well, she's delusional, obviously. Advocate and delusional woman is how I wrote her down.
I just put bless your heart in parentheses.
Bless your heart, yeah. Exactly, because she is, I don't know, maybe she is a bit twisted in her mind. She passed away in 2018 at a retirement home, so we'll never know. But but she was like, Ted didn't do this. I will do whatever I can to free him. And it's like, what? And I think they had met earlier, like years ago, and she just couldn't believe it. Well, of course not, Carol, because that's how you become a serial killer, is people don't suspect you.
Exactly. I mean,
hello.
Yes.
So I felt bad for her, but then it shows during the trial, it was during the penalty phase. And Ted calls Carol up to the stand, proposes to her. She accepts. Yeah. And because he knew the law in Florida at that time, that if there is a notary present, then it's a legal marriage.
Yes.
So
they
were married right then. That's it. And I was like, what? So,
Liz, count yourself lucky.
Exactly. Yes, definitely. And Molly.
Yeah.
And so she, so they were married from 1980 to 86.
Yes.
I couldn't find a cause for divorce. I can't imagine why. You know.
Yeah, I know, right?
Irreconcilable differences. He murdered a lot of people. I didn't. I don't know.
He would never help clean the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
He's
what it
never
was.
Home. But,
He's never home. Yeah.
And They do list a child.
Yeah, Rosa.
Rosa Bundy, who has stayed off of the grid. I would think if I was Rosa, I would have already changed my name. And I would never speak of my original life, you know.
Right.
Just don't. There is no need for it. There's enough people out there who would, some people would just like to meet her. But she never knew him. He was in jail the whole time.
And
she was born in 1980, so or excuse me, well, it was, or maybe 82, but anyway,
82, yeah.
She was under the age of 10 when he was executed.
And he did not have conjugal visits. This was the guards either turning their backs and just letting them do what they want to do or whatever, but...
That
was never supposed to happen. So.
Yeah, and that there was a lot of things. Like when he escaped the first time, the guard went out for a smoke break. You have a murderer. You have, and you're gonna go out for a smoke break? No. Or there should have been two on guard, and one could go. I don't know, but just a lot of things have changed now in the course of what prisoners can do when they're awaiting trial. And a lot of it's from Ted Bundy. So I was interested to learn all of that, how much he changed the prison system or police procedure as to how people are kept with charges.
Yeah. So he's in custody. And while in custody, I mean, he did help solve the Green River Killer case. He was giving them kind of a profiling of what this person may be thinking, what they're doing, their mannerisms. So he helped with that. And I think it fed into Ted's ego, like, hey, I'm valuable to you. You know, I'm going to help you guys figure all of this out. And that's why Ted did not want to be executed, because he thought that he could do what they call bones for time. Because when his execution was set, a few days before, he was like, okay, well, I know how all these women got killed and all the intricate workings of it. So I'll tell you, but you got to give me time to do that.
I think somebody was getting nervous about meeting their maker and having to pay for what they did.
So, of course, this did not work. The governor was not going to stay the execution, because he's like, look, these families deserve that ending, that conclusion. And there's nothing more they can learn from Ted. Because guess what? He's a psychopath. He's got problems. You know? So why are you going to believe him? So they do end up executing Ted Bundy. And there was a party out there.
Boy, wasn't there. It showed people lined up in t-shirts and hats and signs. And they were not very nice. And as they, I mean, he did horrific things.
He did.
And, you know, but lots of women have changed the way they live, and because of him, and things that we learn, and stranger danger, and all of that is from Ted Bundy, because he preyed on people's willingness to help those in need. You know, I still, you can't help but think, wait, why are you doing this? You know, with anybody, not just men, not males, but just anybody. It's like, wait, why? You know, do I really need to help you get your car jumped off, you know?
I mean, it's things like that that really make you stop and think. But we were always kind of raised to be helpful.
Yeah.
You know, help out your neighbor. Help out your friend. If you see somebody struggling, step in. But now I hesitate. A lot of times. And I'm just like, I'll call somebody for you, but that's as far as it's going to go.
Exactly.
Turn your back on no one. That's what I have learned from all that. But, you know, like I said, Alcatraz East has a lot of different things. His letters that he's written to different people about Carol. Carol was actually going to nursing school, which is kind of, so there's different letters. There's actual pictures of Rosa there. A whole thing is over at Alcatraz. And I know we've talked about them before. So that makes it really interesting, too.
Terrible history, but a part of history. And
it is. It definitely is.
Yeah. So if you get a chance, head over there or go to the website, and they have pictures up there as well.
Yes. And Elizabeth Kendall did write a book. It's called The Phantom Prince. And it's, I mean, we gave it a goog. And you can find it on different platforms. You, if you want to read it and look more into it, then you can. And then Amazon also has a show called, Amazon Prime does. It's called Ted Bundy Falling for a Killer. And it's like got like five or six episodes, and it just, and it's more of Liz and Molly talking about the progression with Ted and everything that happened with Ted. And then it does show pictures too of them. So you can check those out too if you're interested more into the Ted Bundy case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because again, with us, we're not going to talk so much about the murders themselves as more the people involved and just kind of different view. Ted Bundy's been done. There's nothing that we've uncovered that nobody else has. So,
Right. Yeah. We just want to give it a different kind of spin just to kind of talk about, you know, what do you do?
Give it a bit more life, more human to it than just here's what's happened. So that's kind of us if this is your first episode listening.
Yes.
Yeah, so Ted Bundy, glad he's gone.
Me too.
So,
don't miss him.
Yeah, don't really miss that.
No.
So next week, we're getting ready to do one, and I don't know that we're going to have an actual show we watch as much as we're just going to kind of do our research, so we invite you all to do the same. Mm-hmm. It's off a serial killer that really intrigues me. Eileen Wuornos. Mm-hmm. She is described as a disgruntled lesbian prostitute.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, disgruntled anything is just terrible. But, so she is a female serial killer, which I forgot the percentage. Only like 2 or 3% of serial killers are female. But I feel she's got a reason. She just went about it the wrong way. So we'll get into that. So if you have questions, comments, articles you want us to read on Eileen, feel free to email them to us, southernonion2@gmail.com, and we'll be glad to include that in. So I'm looking forward to this one.
And yes. Well, I definitely want you to do the Ted Bundy song.
Oh,
do you
yes.
have the Ted Bundy song? I want you guys to hear this, yes.
Well, yeah, I'm not singing, so everybody calm down. So there is a song, and it's this band called Macabre. And if I said it wrong, I apologize. But they actually write songs about serial killers. So in honor of, we release our episodes on Monday. This is a Bundy Monday. So,
yes, a Bundy Monday, yes.
So the lyrics for this song, here's a story of Ted Bundy, murdered young girls Monday through Sunday. Lured them into his car, then they wouldn't see tomorrow. He killed Monday through Sunday. His name was Ted Bundy. He murdered young girls and left them in the woods. He would get them in his car. They wouldn't go far. He would hit them on the head with an object until they were dead. Murdered young girls in several states, from jail 2 times. He escaped. Until the end, he denies his crimes. He was convicted. He was convicted. Then he fried. He killed Monday through Sunday. His name was Ted Bundy. He murdered young girls and left them in the woods. He would get them in his car. They wouldn't go far. He would hit them on the head with an object until they were dead. So, if you're listening to this before you're going to bed, sweet dreams.
Yeah. Right, yes.
And I'm sorry.
You know, they'll write a song about anything nowadays,
they
folks.
Do. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I wanted you all to hear that, so.
Yeah. Yeah, there's songs, I'm sure, about lint in a dryer or something. And if there's not, we'll write it. But
yeah, we'll write it, yeah.
But yeah, so we really appreciate everybody listening. Thank you. Thank you so much. We're having a blast doing this. I hope you all are having a blast listening to us. And we will be back next week for Eileen Wuornos. Until then, take care. Stay safe. Keep peeling back the layers of true crime. And we will talk to you next week. Bye, Erin.
Bye, Erica. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.